the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and chapter 3, and also the book of John, chapter 21, and the book of Jude. In Song of Solomon 1, we'd like to read verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 4. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. In the book of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through verse 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Then in the book of Jude, verse 21, Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Each of these passages address our love to the Lord. It's not speaking of the Lord's love to us, which we spoke upon this morning, but our love to the Lord. In such love, the Lord gives a very prominent place in the Word of God. It's given a very important place. It's given a very vital place. It is presented as something of absolute necessity. Now, if we go back to Song of Solomon, we see the bride stated five times, once there in chapter 1 and verse 7, whom my soul loveth, and then four times in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So five times she said, whom my soul loveth, referring to the bridegroom, referring to Jesus Christ. And in those verses, we see some characteristics of her love to the Lord. And then, in the verses that we read in John, we see Christ asking Peter three times, Lovest thou me? Showing us that our love to the Lord is something that we need to examine, something we need to inspect from time to time. And then in Jude verse 21, there is a direct command concerning this love to the Lord. And we know this isn't talking about the Lord's love to us, because we cannot keep ourselves in that love. But it's talking about our love for the Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God, showing us that this love to the Lord, not only does it need examining, but it needs guarding. It needs keeping. So we want to consider these three points. We have the characteristics of love to the Lord. We see that love to the Lord is something we need to examine. And we see that love to the Lord is something that we need to guard. And we want to speak this evening on the love of your life, which should be the Lord. Now, if we go back to Song of Solomon, in chapter 1 and verse 7, we read, O thou whom my soul loveth. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it is him that my soul loveth. In each of these verses, again, she's speaking of the bridegroom, which represents Jesus Christ. And each time she speaks those words, whom my soul loveth, or him whom my soul loveth, she's not speaking of the bridegroom as an abstract. She's speaking of him as a person. She's not speaking of him as a doctrine. She is speaking of him as a person. As a real person. Has a real person that she has a personal knowledge of. Has a real person that she has a personal experience of. And a personal connection to. Now notice, she says in chapter 1 and verse 7, tell me. This is personal. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Chapter 3, verse 1, she says, I sought him. Again, this is somebody she experiences. This is somebody that she has a relationship with. I sought him whom my soul loveth. Verse 2, I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Verse 3, I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And in verse 4, I found him whom my soul loveth. And then notice it says, I held him. So again, she's speaking of Christ not as an idea, not as a theory, not as a doctrine, but as a real person that she had, that she experienced, that she had a personal knowledge of, that she was personally connected to, a person that she had an involvement with. And she says, my soul loves this individual. And the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be more than a doctrine, ought to be more than a theory, more than an idea. He ought to be someone that we have a personal knowledge of, someone that we are connected to, someone that we have a personal involvement with. And the more we are personally involved with him, the more we love him. Cannot help it. The more personally involved you are with Jesus Christ, the deeper your love for him becomes. So we are to be in love with the very person of Jesus Christ, and that will change the way that you live your life. So she says five times, whom my soul loveth. Now consider that phrase, whom my soul loveth. You'll notice each time she speaks those words, she speaks those words with much assurance. She speaks those words with much conviction. There was no doubt in her mind that she loved him. She knew that she loved him. And every one of us here that knows the Lord as Savior, we ought to be able to say with conviction, we ought to be able to say with assurance, without any doubt whatsoever, I love the Lord. There should be no question in our minds concerning the fact that we love the Lord. Now, do we love Him like we ought to? Of course not. But we ought to have the assurance, I love the Lord. Peter, in response to the questions of Christ, he said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. There was no doubt in Peter's mind that he loved the Lord. And he said, Lord, you know. You know that I love thee. So this is a love that we ought to be absolutely certain about. And if you are absolutely certain that you love the Lord, you are absolutely assured and you can say with conviction, I love the Lord. Again, that's going to change the way you live your life. It's going to have an effect. It's going to have an influence upon the life that you live. Again, as we said this morning, it's going to give your life purpose. To love somebody gives your life some purpose and some direction. And there shouldn't be any doubt in our minds as to our love to the Lord. She also speaks of Him as the love of her life. She didn't just merely say that she loved the Lord, that she loved this bridegroom that she was engaged to. She said, O thou whom my soul loveth. And each time she stated, whom my soul loveth, he was the love of her life. Her eyes were fully fixed upon him. She was completely taken up with him. Throughout the book of Song of Solomon, she refers to him as my love. She refers to him as my beloved. She had given her life to him. She had given her heart to him. He was everything to her. And there was no doubt in her mind that he was the love of her life. Now, it's one thing to say that you love somebody. It's something entirely different to say that that person is the love of your life. And it's one thing to say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's another thing to say he is the love of my life. But we ought to be able. And again, she says this with absolute conviction, with absolute certainty and assurance. He is the one that my soul loves. She is saying he is the love of my life. But notice also in those words, she speaks of her love in the present tense. She doesn't say that I loved him. She says, whom my soul loveth. In other words, I love him right now. Come tomorrow, I will love him then as well. This is not one who is close to the Lord one day and turning from him the next. This is not one who is seemingly in love with an individual one day and the next day as if she doesn't even know him. She says, he is the one whom I love. No matter what is going on, no matter what is going on in my life, he is the one that I love. And no matter what is going on in my life, he is the love of my life. No matter what's going to happen, and though I don't know what is going to happen, I will love him, and he is the love, and he will be the love of my life. And she said this with certainty. This was real to her. She also speaks of the fervency of her love. She says, whom my soul loveth. In other words, her love for him was something that was boiling within her. It was something that consumed her heart and mind. It was something that consumed her whole being. It was something that consumed her very life. He is the one that my soul loves. And our love for the Lord ought to be something that consumes us. It ought to be something that we think about every day. It ought to be something that we like to talk about. We like to tell others about. It ought to be something that consumes the decisions we make. It ought to consume our life, our love for the Lord. This is what Jesus is talking about in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 when he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. In other words, it ought to be a love that consumes your entire being. This isn't just a love for Sunday morning or Sunday evening or whenever it is convenient or advantageous for you to say that you love the Lord. This is a love that ought to consume us. No matter what else is happening, no matter who we are with, whether we're standing with others who love the Lord or whether we're standing by ourselves, it is a love that we are assured of, we are convicted of, and it is a love that consumes our very life. This is the love that we need. And when she said, whom my soul loveth, I believe she's talking about a feeling, an emotion that was beyond description. It's just like when she tried to describe his person. She said, she gave a description of his person, and then she said, yea, he is altogether lovely. In other words, I can't put it into words. Everything about him is beautiful. And when she said, whom my soul loveth, this was a love without reservation. She did not hesitate in saying that she loved the Lord. We should love the Lord without any reservation whatsoever. We should love the Lord without any shame whatsoever. Do not let the world, do not let anybody in the world, do not let any individual cause you to feel inferior because you love the Lord. It should be a love without reservation. And it should be a love that you should never, ever be ashamed of. To tell anybody who will listen, and even if they won't listen, I love the Lord. I can't do such and such because I love the Lord. And my love for the Lord will not let me do such and such. So it was a love that was fervent. In those words, whom my soul loveth, there's excitement. There's enthusiasm. But we see something else. It was also a love that was uninhibited. It was a love that was a priority. And this is a love that ought to be a priority. In other words, it ought to be number one. It was a love that filled her life with meaning. It was a love that caused her to desire. In both chapter 1, verse 7, and also in chapter 3, we see in both places she is desiring his presence. And this is a love that caused her to desire his presence. She simply wanted to be with him. It was a love that made her sensitive toward him. And our love for the Lord ought to be a love that makes us sensitive toward him. It was a love that attracted her to him. There ought to be an attraction. There's something wrong with somebody who professes to know the Lord as Savior, and they seem to have no attraction whatsoever to the person of the Lord. This is a love that has an attraction. It is attracted to the Lord. It is a love that caused her to be focused upon him. Again, as we've already said, it was a love that consumed her. But also in these words, we see that it was a love that she had demonstrated. She asked the question there in chapter 1, in chapter 3. She is seeking the Lord. And she comes to verse 3, and the watchmen, these are not her friends. The watchmen go about the city, they found me. And she asked them, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? And they knew who she was talking about, because she had demonstrated. She had demonstrated with her life that she loved the Lord. We ought to just be able to say, whom my soul loveth. And everybody should know. Everybody that we've lived very long, been very much around, ought to know. They're talking about the Lord. They ought to know that. This is a love that we ought to, again, not be ashamed to demonstrate to all. So there are some characteristics of this love. But then we come to Christ's threefold question of Peter. Lovest thou me? The Lord questioned Peter. You know, I have found on many occasions when I have asked people, church people who are backslidden, and I just ask them, do you love the Lord? And many times they get angry. How dare you question my love for the Lord? I may not even necessarily be questioning your love for the Lord. Might just be trying to get you to examine. And I believe that's what Jesus was doing with Peter. The Lord knew Peter loved him. He knows everything. So, when Christ asked that question to Peter three times, he was not asking it for information's sake, for himself.
He already knew. He knew Peter loved him. And he knew how much Peter loved him. But I believe the Lord asked Peter that question to get Peter to examine. And I believe that teaches us that our love for the Lord should be a love that we're not afraid to examine. And it is a love that does need examining from time to time. It should not be a love that we are afraid of having questioned. Because I believe if we listen, we will hear the Lord ask us many, many times throughout our life, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" It might be after you've sung a hymn, and the Lord might ask, "Do you love me?" It might be after you've heard a message or after you've preached the message, whatever. "Do you love me?" It might be after you've done some service for the Lord. And here comes the question from the Lord Himself. "Do you love me?" He knows. He knows. He knows whether or not you and I love Him. He knows how much we love Him or how little we love Him. He knows how imperfect our love for Him is. And whoever it is that's here tonight that loves the Lord the most, your love at best is imperfect for the Lord. None of us have a perfect love for the Lord. None of us love the Lord like we ought to. But I believe the Lord asked these questions to Peter to get Peter to examine. Keep in mind, Peter has denied the Lord three times. Perhaps sometimes after we've fallen into sin, we might hear that question, "Do you love me?" And again, it's not the Lord questioning our love, but it's the Lord getting us to examine ourselves. And that should be something that we're not afraid to examine. It's just like the individual that you ask, "Are you saved?" And they get angry. That sends pretty clear message to me. You should never get angry if someone asks you in a right spirit, "Do you know the Lord?" I mean, that's something you shouldn't be afraid to examine. I mean, if you know it's so, you're not afraid to go there. You're not afraid to examine it. And if you know it's so that you love the Lord, you're not afraid to examine it. So we need to examine it. We need to inspect it. We need to examine, has my love for the Lord through the years, has it lessened? Has it increased? Has it remained the same? We need to examine. Has it lost any of its passion? Has it lost any of its fervency? And if it has, why? Did the Lord do something that would cause you to love Him less? I don't think so. If we love Him less, if our love has lost any of its passion or fervency, we've got some repenting to do. Is He the love of my life? Can I honestly say that? He is the love of my life. Is that glow still there? Is the radiance still there? Or have those things waned through the years? But no one is exempt from the question. Peter held one of the highest offices in the church, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord said to Peter,
Do you love me? Peter was a man who was greatly favored by God. Peter, James, and John saw things that the others did not see, knew things that the others did not know, had things revealed to them that the others did not have revealed to them. And yet it was to Peter that the Lord said, "Do you love me?" Peter was always the spokesman. Peter was, if not the leader, certainly one of the strong leaders amongst the 12. And yet it was to Peter that the Lord asked the question. You see, it's logical that you and I love the Lord. It's reasonable. It's something that just makes sense. For two reasons. First, because of who He is. And when you think of who He is, it's just logical to love Him. Secondly, when you think of what He has done in your life, it's just logical, it's just reasonable to love Him. But as logical and as reasonable and as much sense as it makes to love the Lord, our love for the Lord is something that we need to often examine. It's something that we need to inspect from time to time. And you know what we find? Most of us that are here tonight, if we were to examine our love to the Lord, here's what we would find. We would find, yes, I love the Lord. I believe almost everybody here can say and mean it, I love the Lord. And as we examine our love, we could say, I love the Lord. But as you examine it a little further, we also have to say, I don't love Him as He deserves to be loved. None of us do. Nor can any of us love the Lord as He deserves. So I do not love Him as He deserves. I love the Lord. But I don't love Him as He deserves. And I don't love Him as much as I should. And I don't even love Him as much as I could. If we honestly examine our love for the Lord. In other words, yes, I love the Lord. But it's always something that comes up short. And it's always something that can improve. I can always love Him more. And if you need reasons to love the Lord more, all you have to do is learn more about Him. And that give everything you learn about the Lord gives you another reason to love Him. If you think about it, everything you experience in life gives you another reason to love the Lord. Every time you sin and the Lord doesn't condemn you is just another reason to love the Lord. Every time you fail and the Lord doesn't give up on you, it's just another reason to love the Lord. I mean, everything that happens in our life is just another reason to love the Lord. Every day, He fills my day with reasons why I should love Him. So, if you're looking for reasons, you shouldn't have to look too far. Just look in your Bible. Just look at your life. And then in verse 21 of the book of Jude, we see it as a love that needs guarding and keeping. And this tells us something about our love. And this tells us something about our human nature. It is a love that needs guarding. Because if left to itself, it will grow cold. Matthew 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So it is possible. It is possible for our love for the Lord to become stale. It's possible for it to become stagnant. It's possible that our love for the Lord just become mechanical and routine. It's possible that that love that we have for the Lord become stifled. It's possible that it might lose its glow. It might lose its fervency. It might lose its passion. It might lose its excitement. It might lose its enthusiasm. It is possible that our love for the Lord might lose some of its interest. Therefore, because of these possibilities, guard it. Keep it. Again, Revelation 2, the church of Ephesus. He commended them for walking in the truth, commended them that they were still preaching the truth, that they could still discern between truth and error, and that to some degree they were still striving for the cause of Jesus Christ. But he says, nevertheless, I'm somewhat against thee, because thou hast left my first love. He didn't say, I'm somewhat against thee because you no longer love me. That's not what he said. They still love the Lord, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't like that first love. It wasn't as fervent, it wasn't as intense as it was in the beginning. So they still love the Lord, but to a lesser degree. And that is possible. It is possible tonight that I love the Lord, but to a lesser degree than I did once before. And if that be so, is that not shameful? Certainly it is, considering who it is that we love. Because love to the Lord is so important, it needs to be guarded. Because the truth is, the more I love Him, the more I'll be willing to commit myself to Him. The more I love Him, the more surrendered I will be to Him. The more I love Him, the more willing I will be to follow Him wherever He may lead. The more I love Him, the more I want to obey Him. The more I love Him, the easier it is for me to put Him first. The more I love Him, the more I want to glorify Him. The more I love Him, the closer I want to be to Him. The more I love Him, the more I want to worship Him. The more I love Him, the more I want to praise Him. The more I love Him, the more I find myself thanking Him. So you see, this love is very important.
And therefore, it needs keeping. Because the more I love Him, the more I'm going to love His Word. The more I'm going to love His day. The more I'm going to love His church. The more I'm going to love His people. The more that I love Him. The more that I love Him, the more I want to be what He wants me to be. You see, this love for the Lord is so very important. The more I want to please Him, the more that I love Him, the greater desire I have to be in the center of His will. To be doing exactly what He would have me to do. The more I love Him, the more I want to know Him. And the more I will study His person. The greater desire we have for His service. The more we love Him, the more we want to serve Him. The more we love Him, the more we want to be identified with Him. We should never be ashamed to be identified with the Lord. Don't let anybody intimidate you where you are ashamed to be identified with the Lord. Never be ashamed to be identified with Him. Never be ashamed to stand where He stands. And the more we love Him, the more I want to be identified with Him. The more I want to be linked with Him, the less ashamed we are. Don't ever be ashamed for carrying a Bible, wherever it is you might carry one. Don't be ashamed of that. Be identified with the Lord. The more that we love Him, the more we will be willing to stoop. And the more willing we will be to forget about ourselves and to serve Him and think nothing of it. The more we love Him, the more we do for Him, and we still never think that we've really done anything. The more that you love Him, you just can't do enough for Him. The more that we love Him, the more He becomes my purpose for living. Becomes my purpose for doing everything. The more that I love Him, the more meaningful He becomes to me. There shouldn't be anything more meaningful than the Lord. And the more that we love Him, the more He means to us. Also, the more we love Him, the more willing we are for Him to control and to dominate us. I've been told many times because of what I believe doctrinally, because I believe in the sovereignty of God, I'm an absolute predestinarian. Well, you just believe we're puppets on a string. Can you think of anything better than that? That's pretty good. Be the Lord's puppet. That's a wonderful thing. And the more you love the Lord, you don't have a problem. You don't have a problem being the Lord's puppet. I'd rather be the Lord's puppet than the world's puppet or anyone else's puppet. So the more we love the Lord, the more willing we are to be controlled by Him. The more we love the Lord, the more we seek Him. The more He becomes our pattern for our life. The more zealous we become in His cause. And really, the more we love the Lord, the easier it is to serve Him. You know, I've got to wonder about people who are always talking about how hard it is. Because I find the more you love Him, the easier it gets. I'm not saying that life in this world is easy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the more you love the Lord, it's easier to serve Him. It's not hard to serve someone that you love. It's not hard to do for somebody that you love. It's not hard to serve the Lord if you love Him. It's something that you enjoy doing. And the more you love the Lord, the more enabled you are to endure trials and difficulties. You can endure an awful lot for somebody that you love. And you're willing. And we can endure an awful lot for the Lord if we love Him. So, this shows how important this love is. And because it's so important, we need to examine it. We need to keep it. We need to guard it. We need to feed it. The more I love the Lord, the further I'm willing to go for Him. Just how far are you willing to go for the Lord? Oh, Brother Dan, I'll give my life. I doubt it if you can't even honor His day. Can't even honor His day. But you're going to give your life? I highly doubt it. Can't even read His word. But you're going to give your life? I doubt it. We need to honestly examine our love to the Lord. And as we do, we need to repent. Lord, forgive me for not loving You like more than I do. Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. And again, I believe most of us can say that tonight. Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. There's no doubt in my mind that I love You. But Lord, forgive me for not loving You more than I do. Again, the more we realize, the more aware we are of His love to us. The more we know, the more we are persuaded, the more we are convinced of His love for us. And the more we feel and the more we experience His love for us, the more we love Him in return. The psalmist in Psalm 116 and verse 1 said, I love the Lord because. And then he went on to say, He hath heard my supplications. I love the Lord because. And he stated one of the reasons he loved the Lord was because of something God had done. Song of Solomon. She said, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. In other words, this is why I love Him. He is altogether lovely. I love Him because of who He is. I love Him because of what He's done. The next time you're feeling down in the dumps, you're having a pity party, get a piece of paper out and just start writing all the reasons you love the Lord. And that should take up the rest of your day. All the reasons to love the Lord. And then you write all the reasons the Lord loves you. And there's only one. And again, just as we said this morning, that's because He wants to. You see, I can't say the Lord loves me because and then point to something in my life. I can only say the Lord loves me because God. That's it. But I can say of my love to Him, I love the Lord because. It's not, I love the Lord, and that's just the way it is. But I love the Lord, and here's the reasons. And you know what? Can't even count. Can't even count the reasons that I love the Lord. Can't even begin. Where does it end? Again, every single day, the Lord gives us innumerable reasons to love Him. Innumerable reasons. Reasons we don't even think about. If I'm able to get out of bed tomorrow, that's just another reason to love the Lord. If I'm not able to get out of bed tomorrow, that's just another reason to love the Lord. Because He's the same whether I can get out of bed or whether I can't get out of bed. And He loves me whether I can get out of bed or whether I can't. And He's everything I need. No matter what happens in our life, it's just another reason to love the Lord. And again, as we've said many times, I think many times we work on the wrong things. We say, yes, I realize that I don't read my Bible like I should. I'm going to work on that, or I don't do this, I don't do that. And we start to work on those things, but it don't last long. But really, we need to go back to the roots and the foundations. If I love the Lord more, I'd read His Word more. If I love the Lord more, I would do this more. So, Lord, help me to love You more. And that's really a wonderful thing to pray. Lord, help me to love You more. Because you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to give you more reasons to love Him. He's going to show you. He's going to show you Himself. He's going to show you, give you all these reasons. And if we love the Lord more, all the other things will take care of itself. So examine. And we're not questioning. I'm not questioning anybody's love for the Lord tonight. That's not my intent at all. But do examine your own love. And I hope you can say, I love the Lord. I hope you can go a little further than that and say, He's the love of my life. But no matter how far you can go, you've still eventually got to come to the point, Lord, I don't love You like I ought to. Help me to love You more. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.